So the title of this is The Biopsychosocial Predictors of Diabetes Self-Care Among African American and Latino Patients with Type 2 Diabetes. I have no relationships to disclose. In terms of the background, we've seen this already in our previous presentations. It is the seventh leading cause of death in the U.S. About 26 million Americans suffer from the disease, of which 7 million remain undiagnosed. And here we see a map that has been periodically updated as the prevalence has continued to rise in the U.S. Now, we saw that the prevalence is greater in certain minority groups that have low income. We have Hispanics at 11.8%, non-Hispanic blacks at 12.6% compared to 7.1% in non-Hispanic whites. And again, we see variation in terms of the different Latino groups. So we have 7.6 for Cubans and 13.8 for Puerto Rican Americans. And they are also more likely to develop long-term complications and greater diabetes-related disability. And as we saw in previous studies in the previous presentations, that they also have greater rates of mortality from the disease. The focus of this study is looking at diabetes self-management because it is critical to the overall management of the disease. About 90% of what has to be done is usually conducted by the patient in terms of healthy eating, physical activity, blood sugar testing, and so forth. But it is challenging, and patient adherence remains relatively low, as we see in the data. Multiple factors have been directly and indirectly linked, things such as socio-demographic factors. We see things such as disease-related factors are also predictive of self-care adherence. And we also have things such as psychological factors, depression, distress, and so forth. But few studies examining these factors, few focus on cultural, on groups such as African Americans and Latinos. So therefore, the aims of this study are to look at the diabetes self-care activities among African Americans and Latinos with type 2 diabetes, and then to determine the set of socio-demographic and the biopsychosocial factors that best predict performance in diabetes self-care activities. So the method, it comes from a larger study, so it's a secondary data analysis, and the data comes from an NIH grant that was funded, and it's called Improving Diabetes Self-Management in Minorities. And it's a randomized control trial where people are either in the control group that receive treatment as usual plus an education booklet versus the treatment group, which receives diabetes education from a medical assistant coach, and they receive monthly phone calls and so forth. They collect information at baseline 6, 12, and 18 months. For this study, I used baseline data, so I ran a cross-sectional analysis. The study population and setting is the same as that of the RCT. There are patients with type 2 diabetes. They have to be African American or Latinos. And they were recruited from four federally qualified health centers in Chicago. So it included areas such as Little Village, where we have the population is predominantly of Mexican American descent. And the inclusion criteria, I won't go through all of them, but again, they had to be over the age of 18. They had to have a previous A1C of 6.5 or higher. They're currently taking diabetes medication. They had to be either on insulin, pills, or both, and they had to have been diagnosed for at least 6 months. So in terms of my dependent or outcome variable, the one I'm interested in, it's diabetes self-care. So I use a summary of diabetes self-care activities measure, which was developed by Tober in 2000. And I specifically looked at specific diet, physical activity, and blood glucose testing, although the measure does include more in terms of physical activities that it measures, of self-care activities that it measures. And here's an example question. So how many of the last 7 days have you engaged in healthy eating? So the people are able to choose anywhere from 0 to 7 days. And these are the independent variables that I use to help predict the engagement in self-care. So we have your basic socio-demographic factors. I included the number of household members with diabetes. I included insurance coverage, yes, no. Health literacy. I also looked at medication type, whether they were using insulin or not. The length of their diagnosis. I looked at glycemic control as measured via A1C. I looked at BMI calculated from height and weight. And three psychological constructs of depression as measured by the patient health questionnaire, the PHQ-9, diabetes distress, and diabetes self-efficacy. So here are the results. So in terms of age, we have the mean age of 53 for the total sample, and the total sample was 261. We had 133 of African American descent and 118 Latinos. The majority was female, about 70%. About 60% had less than a high school education. And we have a significant difference between the African American and the Latino group. So here we have 85% in the Latino group versus 38% in the African American group. Marital status, again, we see about 39% were married. We see significant differences between the African American and Latino group, 55% of Latinos who are married versus 24% in the African American group. Employment, about 40%, 39% are currently employed. And then we see here that about 74% of the total population had less than $20,000 annual income. And this was pretty similar in terms of the two groups. Health insurance, about 60% reported having health insurance, and about 80% reported having at least one household member living in their house who had diabetes. Here are the baseline biopsychosocial factors. We see health literacy at 28 for African Americans and 21.7 for Latinos. And that's considered, this one is considered adequate, the African American, but the Latino is marginally significant, or marginally in terms of the whether it's the health literacy, it's considered marginal. But I also want to point out that what we used to collect this were tablet PCs. So we had these tablets where people could listen to the question, look at the question, and then touch the response. And still then, a lot of them had trouble completing and had trouble reading. So, and then this health literacy test is a 7-minute time test, and this doesn't take into consideration those that decline because they weren't tracking that, but those that decline because they couldn't read, or sometimes they would say that they forgot their glasses. So it's marginal, but I'm guessing that it might be even lower because of this. In terms of insulin, we have 64% or 65 not reporting insulin use. In terms of differences between the African American and Latino, we see African Americans are more likely to report using insulin. What else? We have glycemic control, 8.9, higher for African Americans and higher BMI as well. And we see depression at 6.9 versus 4.7, but both of those are minimal to mild depression. Diabetes distress, we see a 2.6, and self-efficacy of 4.1 and 4.3 respectively. So this is the graph showing the levels of self-care, and here we have specific diet, physical activity, and blood sugar testing. We see the one that's reported the least is physical activity at 2.5 days out of 7. And there are some differences in terms of race, ethnicity for specific diet, where we have 4.3 days for Latinos versus 3.7 days for African American population. And blood sugar testing is, again, a little different, 4.1 for African Americans and 3.1 for Latinos. And now I'm going to go into the predictor. So this is, I looked at Poisson regression, and this was specific diet, and I looked at what factors best predicted these outcomes. So for specific diet, we have education, high school graduate and less than high school. So this is telling us that those with lower lower education were more likely to engage in specific diet. And our team actually had a conversation about this because we thought it was a little bit counterintuitive. But we did, we're thinking about running more analysis in terms of whether this is a proxy, for example, for employment. The idea that people with lower education right now are less likely to be employed, therefore have more time perhaps, or is it capturing is it something to do with gender? Maybe there's an interaction where the women who are staying at home have more time to prepare the food, have more less education perhaps. So we're gonna run those analyses. So depression we see is, as we expected, those with lower depression scores are more likely to engage in specific diet, and those with higher levels of self-efficacy are more likely to engage in specific diet. For physical activity, we see slightly different predictors. We have age, those that are younger are more likely, though African Americans are more likely than Latinos to engage in physical activity. Those with no household members with diabetes are more likely than those that have at least one member in the household. Those with lower levels of BMI are more likely. Those with diabetes, lower levels of diabetes distress are more likely to engage in physical activity. And again, we see self-efficacy. Those with higher levels of diabetes self-efficacy are more likely to engage in physical activity. And for blood sugar testing, again, we have a different set. Some are similar, but some are different. We see age. Those that are older are more likely to engage in blood sugar testing. Males are more likely. African Americans are more likely. Those that are married are more likely to engage in blood sugar testing when compared to divorced, separated, and widowed. And those that are currently employed are more likely when compared to homeworkers, students, retired, or those unable to work. Those with insurance are more likely. Those using insulin as expected are more likely to test their blood sugar. And those with lower levels of BMI are more likely. And diabetes self-efficacy, again, we see it down here, that they're more likely to engage in blood sugar testing. So in conclusion, we see that this is a sample with low SES. About 60% had less than a high school education, 74% with an annual income below $20,000. And we see the lowest levels of self-care reported was physical exercise, as we saw 2.5 days out of 7. And we saw some differences in terms of race ethnicity, where Latinos had lower levels of physical activity and blood sugar testing. And we also see that the independent variables associated with the different self-care activities differed. It was different for physical activity as compared to specific diet versus blood sugar testing. And we also saw multiple mutable factors. So there's things that we can target, such as depression, self-efficacy, and diabetes-related distress, that can potentially help increase performance among these groups. Implications in future research is that we need programs targeting diabetes self-care minorities that need to consider decreasing depression, decreasing diabetes distress, and increasing self-efficacy. We are currently looking, as was mentioned, at Tai Chi and the possibility of using that not only as a form of physical activity, but also as a form of stress reduction. So that's we're looking at that now. Also, programs should focus on increasing physical activity levels overall, as we saw, but particularly among Latinos, as the research shows they're less likely than other minority groups to engage in leisure time physical activity. So that's very important to see what types of strategies we can use. There's some researchers that are looking at dancing as a potential mode to increase physical activity in this group. And programs should focus on tailored patient-centered approaches, because we see people are at different stages and it varies. If you're compliant with blood sugar testing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be compliant with physical activity or nutrition. And future research should also examine the etiology of these psychological factors. So we're seeing that depression is associated with specific diet, but we don't know exactly where is this depression coming from. Is it related to the disease? Is it related to the economic climate? Is it related to personal issues? And the next thing is to look at the mechanism through which this is working. How exactly is depression affecting diabetes self-care? Is it through diminishing self-efficacy, which we saw was important, or is it diminishing the social support that is acquired? So with that, I'd like to thank the UIC Diabetes Self-Care Study team and also the funder, NIH, and I won't open it up to questions until later. Thank you.